You're listening to Source Daily. Join us Monday through Friday to stay up to date on what's happening in North Central Ohio. We'll be sharing a closer look at one of our top stories, along with other news, local history, memorials, answers to your questions, and more. To celebrate our 10-year anniversary, we're taking a look back at some of the biggest stories and our favorite memories. Today, we're going back in time to 2021. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at ReVision LASIK and Cataract Surgery. With over 25 years of proven commitment to the Central Ohio community, their team and knowledgeable Ohio eye surgeons are dedicated to bringing you into focus. To learn more, visit revisioneyes.com today. Now our feature story. Richland Source is grateful to be celebrating 10 years of local reporting across North Central Ohio. While other newspapers in Ohio and across the nation have closed their doors during this time, we've embraced the digital era without compromising on quality journalism. If having a trusted, independent news source in your community is important to you, please visit richlandsource.com/members to become a member and support our work. Now let's head back to 2021.
Is this thing on? I think it's on.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, so let's just go ahead and jump right into it. So we're here to talk about Ashland, Richland, and Knox Pages in the year 2021. I'm Nathan Hart. I'm a Report for America Corps member. I've been with The Source since June of last year.
And I'm Zuri Birmingham. I'm our sales and marketing specialist here at The Source. So all the advertising stuff, that's what I do. I've been with The Source since March of 2022.
Yeah, so I've been with The Source for a year. I do all sorts of stuff. Basically, I work for Ashland Source primarily, which is I do all the news that's occurring down there in Ashland, or I guess north from here would be Ashland. So we're here to talk about the year of our Lord, 2021. It was 2 years ago. Going on in the world, what was happening? It was COVID. We're in the deep, dark times of COVID still. Vaccines were coming out.
Yeah, people were trying to figure out how to get back to work slowly.
Yeah, I was still in college when this was happening, so that's a little bit weird.
Oh gosh, you're a baby.
Yeah, I'm very young, despite my outward, bald, elderly appearance. So I guess we can start with talking about the top source stories of that year. I've just got a few here to talk about. News kept happening in 2021. To start out with, a story that really caught my interest was from Ashland Source, written by Carl Hunnell, about a woman who saw, or thought she saw, Bigfoot.
Oh my gosh.
In Ashland County, outside her gym.
And it was in the middle of the parking lot, right?
It was like creeping around a corner or something from the story. He was like peering around a corner, or he's just like generally creeping about. But yeah, I mean, I thought that was a very interesting story because I have no experience with the big man himself. I've not seen him. I personally don't think he exists. I think he's probably just a man, or people seeing things, making things out to be things that they aren't. But it was kind of exciting because I live kind of close to where he was spotted, so I was kind of hoping like maybe he'd come by and
see,
say hi.
You never know, because that was the first Bigfoot story, but there was a second one.
Yeah.
I think like the next month, a man in Ashland saw or claimed to see a Sasquatch while he was mowing his lawn.
Yeah, I read that one too. It was in June, I believe.
Yeah, so there's still hope. I mean, there's maybe more than one out there.
Well, and then there haven't been any sightings since then. I did a story last fall where there was like a Bigfoot extravaganza in Ashland County, and they were looking with a drone for him, and they didn't see him. I went on a walk. I went on a hike through known Bigfoot territories, and I didn't see him, so.
That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I've never believed in Bigfoot, per se, but maybe there's some kind of creatures out there we haven't discovered and don't know what to call yet. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a Bigfoot, but
I feel like Bigfoot, he's so big, right? We would have found him by now.
Someone's going to notice a 7-foot tall,
just get
furry man.
Yeah, just get like a nice solid picture of the guy, because all the pictures are blurry or it's just eyewitness accounts. It's like, come on, we would have found the guy unless he's got some sort of stealth technology that we don't know where about. I think we would have found him by now. But yeah, Matthew Moneymaker, like the guy who nationally known for hunting Bigfoot, was involved in these stories.
Yeah.
Because the sightings were uploaded to his website where they're given like a rating of how plausible they are. And I know in the case of the woman's story near the gym, it was given a class A rating, which is like the highest level of plausibility.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Matthew Moneymaker was also here last year when I saw him. I guess, I don't know, maybe this area is prime for Bigfoot. There haven't been any sightings since then, so maybe he's moved on somewhere else.
I mean, think about it. We were all, like, on lockdown. Like, the humans were gone. Bigfoot had, like, full realm. Maybe he came out.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I don't know, he went back somewhere, wherever
he lives.
Went back
to hiding when we got all out of our house arrest from COVID.
Yeah, so 2021 also, just to move on to a different story, 2021 was also the beginning of the cleanup of the Westinghouse site in Richland and Mansfield. I know, just from what my colleague Carl has told me, that it's an eyesore, it's a huge complex. It was once, I don't know, was it a shopping center or something?
You know, I'm not completely sure. I'm not originally from Mansfield, but when I did originally, like, first move here a few years ago, I lived not too far from Westinghouse, and I remember my son all the time, like, what's that old building? Is it haunted? What did it used to be? Like, we would go past it all the time. So it was a really big deal when they started talking about actually doing something with that property.
Yeah. The story I read, the first move back in 2021, was about the land bank sort of approved a contract to clean up or demolish the site. Obviously, at this point, they have not cleaned it up. They've just knocked down the building.
Right.
So now it was still up in 2021, but now it's a bunch of rubble and they're still working on it.
It's a progress, but it's good to see that progress is still being made. Like, little by little, I'm excited to see what comes of that area.
Yeah, it was torn down, I think, in the last 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing a video of, like, a wrecking ball going into it, so.
Yeah, and one thing I thought was really cool was, they were offering, like, some of the bricks from the building to, like, community members that could come and get, like, a brick off the pallet as, like, a piece of Mansfield history. I thought that was a really neat idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to become of it next. I know they've been floating a bunch of ideas for the space, but as of right now, I don't think it's going to be anything except for, I don't know, a bunch of bricks and stuff just lying there. All the people, I don't know, demolishing buildings has always kind of fascinated me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've only been in buildings that are not demolished, so, and I don't know how you go about. I mean, obviously, I know instinctually, just break stuff until it falls down. But I don't know, like, the science behind it, because obviously there's a science, because you don't want to be unsafe or something like that. So yeah, and also it just seems kind of fun.
And you don't know what it's gonna, like, release into the air and things like that. So I mean, it's got to be more complicated than just get out the big wrecking ball. But it is a cool kind of process to be watching.
Yeah. So yeah, that started in 2021, and what was once a big old building is now just a bunch of bricks. So another story that was going on in 2021. So in Mount Vernon in Knox County, south of Mansfield, there was a bomb scare at a park.
Oh, the banana bread bomb scare.
Yeah, so yeah. Park goers noticed two packages wrapped in tinfoil, and they called the police, and the police were like, oh, that's a little weird. So they called the Columbus Bomb Squad to come up here to look into it. And I believe they had a canine. They did an X-ray of it, and obviously the bomb squad came all the way from Columbus. Just to determine that it was, in fact, banana bread wrapped up in tinfoil and not a weapon of mass destruction. I love that story.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most unique, maybe the weirdest story that we covered in that year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any of us will forget it.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, is leaving banana bread in tinfoil, the person that did it, we don't know who left the banana bread.
Yeah, we still don't know.
Is that a crime? Is that littering? Because obviously, you can't be cited for inducing public panic because, I mean, it's just banana bread. But is it littering? I don't know.
I mean, like the bread is biodegradable. The birds will eat it. But, like, the foil, maybe.
Yeah.
They did litter foil.
I mean, there weren't any charges stemming from the incident because it was not a bomb and it was banana bread and they don't know who left it. But I wonder if the person who left it read the article and was like, oh, oops.
Like, dang it, that's where I left my bread.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, two perfectly good loaves of banana bread.
They had to be
on.
Taking it to, like, a family member or something. Like,
yeah.
But how do you just set it down?
I think they were, like, under the table or something,
mm-hmm.
which is probably what I think if it's under the table, I'm a little like, oh, well, that's odd.
That's
probably
what made
not
it suspicious.
Because if it was on the table, I'd be like, oh, someone left their lunch or something.
Right.
But under the table, it's like, oh, what's the deal? What's going on here? This is a suspicious loaf.
Something out of a sitcom or something.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you were the one that left the banana bread, reach out to Richland Source. We would like to hear from
you. Just tell us why, you know? We'd love to know.
Yeah, so that was a great story. It happened in February, too, which is a weird time to be at a park because it was probably...
It's probably still snowing.
Probably. I mean, I guess you don't need a fridge for the banana bread if you just leave it outside when it's like 20 degrees.
Maybe that was the reason.
Yeah, I mean, I would be mad if I was like, all right, well, I got to go do something. I'm going to leave my banana bread here. I'll come back for it later. And then I came back and it's thrown away and there's like a bomb squad. And
imagine coming back because you like remember you left your bread and there's like SWAT team, bomb squad surrounding the area.
Yeah, I think if that were me and I saw them like poking my bread with like a stick or something or sending in the robot to touch the bread, I think I would leave without saying anything.
Oh, turning around right
away. Yeah,
right.
I'd be like, nope, it wasn't
y'all didn't
me.
See
don't
me.
Know, yeah, I don't know who did this. Yeah, so also in 2021, on a more, I guess, sort of sad note, our colleague Dylan Carr was in a hit and run.
Yeah, Dylan was on his morning bike ride on the B&O Trail, I think just off of the Marion Avenue exit from the trail, and was hit. It was in the article that he thought the car was going to stop. They put on their brakes, and then they kept going. And it was a while before he found out what really happened, right?
Yeah, so our colleague Carl wrote an article about the hit and run, and the guy who hit Dylan, his daughter saw the article, and then the guy came forward, and now it's a whole ongoing legal thing. But yeah, Dylan had his vertebrae was messed up and his shoulder was messed up, and the guy, I remember Dylan said the guy stopped as if he was going to stop, and then he kept going, and then I think the guy said he didn't know he hit anyone.
Yeah, he couldn't tell. It wasn't sure that he hit someone. I'm not really sure how that happens. I would definitely notice if I am driving and there's a thud. But somehow he didn't notice. I am glad that the daughter did. I think she saw the story.
Yeah.
When the source originally reported on it and saw this coverage that we were doing on Dylan and the reward that was put up to find the person who hit him, etc. And because of all the buzz that we were making about it, the stories that were being put out, that actually led to her being like, oh, shoot.
There's a man-shaped imprint on our family car.
Dad, this might sound familiar. But luckily, we've got Dylan back in full force with us. He seemed to make a full recovery.
Yeah, he's fine now.
Ever since I've been in the office and I've known him, I actually, I haven't known him to be out for injury. He's in all his pieces.
Yeah, he seems to be fully put back together.
But that was a definitely scary instance. I actually remember reading that story before I started with the source. And then when I got here and met Dylan, I was like, oh my gosh. But happy ending to that story.
Yeah. This next story has one, I guess, with not as much of a happy ending. It's Sean Rowe, who was an Army veteran who served in Iraq, who was shot and killed by police, Richland County Sheriff's deputies, in August 2021.
Yeah, I remember that. He was a veteran, and I don't know all the details leading up to what happened. I remember saying that he came out with weapons, right?
A hatchet? Yeah, he had machetes, I believe.
Okay.
And he was wielding them, and then the police shot and killed him. And I think they had a warrant for his arrest for something.
Yeah, after doing some digging, I think he was a militia leader or something of that nature.
Yeah, he had back in 2014, 2013, he kind of gained national attention because he said he was putting together a group of veterans that were going to go to the Middle East to fight ISIS.
Right.
I don't think that ever panned out because there's no website for the group or anything, and I'm pretty sure he never actually went.
Yeah, I think there was a website at one point, but that it's crazy that something that big happened so close to home. I definitely remember when that story happened and just wow. Mm-hmm. and it's unfortunate. Sadly, that was not, like you said, not a happy ending to that story.
You want to talk about what was going on in the world in general in 2021?
Yeah, so nationwide and worldwide, I'll say probably the biggest story for us as a country was 2021. We had January 6th, mm-hmm. the insurrection on the Capitol building. We can go into that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching it on TV.
Everyone was seeing it in real time. That was...
Yeah, I was in college when that happened, and I was home for winter break, and I remember my mom got home from work, and I was like, Mom, they're storming the Capitol. And she was like, no, I don't think they're storming. That's not true. And then I was like, turn on the TV. She was like, oh, they are.
Because it didn't sound real. It didn't sound like something that we would ever witness.
Yeah. That was a very surreal day.
I think that someone locally, wasn't it a local councilman?
Yeah, I believe.
Went there.
A Shelby councilman? Yeah. And then there was a man from Bucyrus also that was part of it. A councilman from Shelby was involved with January 6th. I believe Carl wrote that story later that year. That was a wild start to the year.
And of course, I just wanted to say, of course, Carl wrote it. I want to know, like, how many articles are written by Carl Hunnell in 2021, because all of the ones that I went back and looked at were Carl's stories.
He's prolific.
A little bit, yeah.
What else? I guess a little bit after January 6th was when the GameStop stock went crazy, right?
Yes.
When it went to the moon, as they say. And that was, I think that was a very amusing period.
Was it like someone like hopped on Reddit?
Yeah, it was like a subreddit that like worked together to boost the GameStop stock to just sort of screw over people or day traders that they were hoping on a short, I believe is the term.
They were, you know, trying to like even out the playing field a little bit.
Where you make money if a stock goes down.
Right.
And so I think the subreddit was like, well, let's make it go really far up so they lose a bunch of money.
Right.
And so, yeah, the GameStop stock went crazy and it was a whole thing. And like Robinhood, not crashed, but they stopped trading at one point, which made a lot of people mad.
Everybody, like Twitter went crazy. My like news feed on my phone went crazy. Everyone was freaking out about this GameStop situation.
Yeah, it was pretty amusing just to see like, oh, like if you get enough people together, you can just make like the graph, make the numbers go up. Like the stock exchange is just like
turned everything on its head for a day.
Yeah, it was for like I think 2 weeks. It was pretty high. Yeah, that was. I remember watching it and being like, darn, I wish I had GameStop stock.
I remember forgetting that GameStop was one of the stocks in my son's portfolio. Mm. And just because, you know, it was in like an old buy. And I was like, what the heck's going on?
I wonder what they're at today.
I couldn't tell you. That is so funny, though. I remember like getting all these alerts on my account. And I was like, what's going up? What's rising?
So they're currently at $23 U.S. dollars per share.
What did they start at? Because I remember they got up pretty,
well,
pretty high.
In like 2020, the share, it was like $1 per share in 2020. And then it shot up $81 per share, according to this graph I'm looking at. I thought it got even higher.
I don't know, 80-something sounds about right.
Yeah, now it's hovering at 23, so it's still...
I mean, they kind of succeeded then,
yeah, it's
right?
Still like much higher than it was preceding the GameStop stock fiasco. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know if GameStop changed, if they're like rolling in the dough because of this, but I feel like this is just because of that one incident.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in a GameStop lately. I don't think that much has changed.
The gilded halls of GameStop. Yeah, if you look at the graph, it's like flat line, and then 2021, it goes up just like straight up, and then it kind of stays near there for the next few years. what else? Oh, there was the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal.
Oh, yeah. It got lodged in there like sideways. And...
Yeah, which I found very amusing. I mean, because it's like the Suez Canal is a major artery of trade, international trade. And this one ship got stuck in it like sort of just like it didn't grind. Like the international economy didn't break, but I think it did cause issues. And it was stuck there for a few days, I think.
Imagine being that, like, ship captain.
Yeah, that, like, you've made international news because you made a bad
right.
turn.
Right, and all the cameras are on you, like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't put my ship in sideways in a canal, but then again, I'm not a container ship captain.
I can't even imagine how difficult that something that size has to be to steer, but still, like, to be the one who got stuck sideways. And how long was it stuck for?
Oh, wait, I have it in my notes here. It was stuck for 6 days.
Yeah, it was almost a week. Oh, my gosh.
I wonder how they got it out. They get, like, a big stick of butter, just, like, slide it out.
I'm sure that was it. That sounds accurate. That's how they do the shipping incidents nowadays.
What else? That fall 2021, the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan.
Yes.
Which was the whole thing.
That was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, after, what, 20-something years? Actually, 20 years almost exactly, right?
I think it was almost to the T, yeah.
Yeah, so that was wild.
And nationwide, also, did we touch on the rollout of COVID vaccines?
Oh, yes. Yes, that was, they were coming out.
Yeah.
And I think I got my first dose beginning of April that year.
Okay. And then throughout the year, you know, we all remember the waves that first it was for like just essential workers and then it was for different groups.
Yeah.
I think I ended up getting my first dose in July, mid-July. Mm. But yeah, it was like a crazy time because people were urged to get their vaccines, get back to work. Kids still couldn't get vaccinated yet. And it was just, it was chaos.
Yeah, I remember, and then it, like, things sort of got back to normal over the summer.
Normal-ish. I like to say normal-ish.
Yeah, like, cases were, like, super-duper low.
Yeah.
Like, May and June of that year. And I just remember, basically, it felt like, to me, just, like, going out, felt like it was over. Like, no one was really wearing a mask, and it just seemed like, oh, finally, it's done. And then Delta came that summer.
Yeah.
That was like the first variant wave. And then all of a sudden it was like everyone's wearing masks again. And I don't think things closed down, but it was like, oh, I guess we're not done yet.
Everyone was on high alert again.
Yeah. And then that Delta like went away.
And then it was like Omicron.
Yeah. Omicron.
Yes,
yeah.
Came back. And yeah, it was every time that the world like took a breath and was like, ooh, okay. We're normal-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, another wave.
Yeah. The Delta didn't get me, but I did get the Omicron.
So I ended up getting COVID twice. The second time I got it was Omicron. And it actually didn't hit me too bad. I thought it was a sinus infection. I think I heard that sentiment kind of a lot. I had, like, this annoying sinus infection. And I was like, this is persistent, man. This isn't going away. Luckily, I was working remotely at the time. So I didn't, like, accidentally infect anybody. But I think it was that way for a lot of people.
Yeah, when I got it, I didn't even feel sick at all, really. I just kind of, like, felt a little more, like, I don't know, like a little stuffy, I guess.
Yeah.
Just for like one day, I felt a little stuffy. And I was like, well, I feel a little different, so I'll take a test, not even thinking about it. Just like put the test, put on TV. And then after I was done, I was going to go out somewhere. And I looked at the test and I was like, oh, as an afterthought, I looked at it. I was like, oh, I should probably check this before I go. And I was like, oh, I got the two lines.
Oh, better not.
guess I'm staying inside for 5 days or whatever.
See, and if anyone knows me, I'm like allergic to the outdoors. I just say I'm allergic to like anything pretty. So I'm used to being stuffy. Like I'm stuffy right now. So when I was like stuffed up and had like sinus headaches for a couple days, I was just like, there's pollen in the air. It's fine. So yeah, that Omicron, it snuck up on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like super, super contagious. Just like went everywhere.
Everywhere.
And that's the only time I've had COVID as far as I know. It's been a year and a half since then. Yeah. So
that's when, I think 2021, towards the middle and end, the workplace kind of got back to normal. A lot of people started trying to get back to work. Places started trying to hire people. It definitely wasn't normal by any means, but there was an effort to kind of get back to what we knew as real life.
Yeah, I remember that was a weird thing of like all the companies were like, well, you don't have enough workers. Where's all the workers? Nobody wants to work, et cetera. And also like that running alongside them being like, well, the supply chain's all messed up.
Yes.
Someone come please come fix the supply chain for us.
Yes. And also like if you want to work, you must be vaccinated. And
yeah, that's the whole thing.
Yes. Yes. So it was a mess. But I mean, apparently we're here. Like we got through it.
That's true.
Things are still falling into place. But 2021 was the start of getting through it. That's how I like to look at it.
Yeah, I think for me, at least, 2021 was a pretty good year as a whole. Much leagues better than the year 2020.
Oh, that was just
every time I see, if I'm looking at something and it's like, oh, this was uploaded in 2020, I'm always like,
skip.
Well, I'm just like looking and looking at the date, I'm just like, oh, this whole thing now has like the stink of 2020 on it. Yeah. But yeah, 2021, good year.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of stuff going on in the source that year. We had our first Report for America Corps member, Emma Davis, that year, who split her time between Ashland and Knox Pages.
Yeah.
Who else? What else? Dylan came back in 2021.
Dylan made his full recovery.
Yeah. He came back to the source in 2021, and then he got hit by a car. Yeah, and then he recovered, and he's still around.
So we got Dylan back twice in 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, also 2021 was the talk the vote thing.
Yes, yes.
Where... like the community would gather and we would like record, be like, what do you want your elected officials? Like, what do you think your elected officials could do better and stuff like that?
Yeah. And in getting the community involved in that way was, you know, something new for this area. I think it's really good that we started doing that. Also, you reminded me, 2021 is the year when we started introducing and having like a dedicated role for our newsroom partnerships mm-hmm. and our source members. Mm. So if you're a source member today, like, we thank you. 2021 was kind of the catalyst for that, and having members like you be able to help us keep doing what we do and keep getting out in the communities, funding our amazing reporting efforts. All that started in 2021. So good things came of that year.
It was a decent year. I think that's probably it for the podcast, right?
Yeah, I think we've kind of touched on everything.
I think we've covered the entire year 2021. it's all in there.
All right. Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us, again, my name is Zuri Birmingham. I'm the sales and marketing specialist here. And you can always reach out to me at zuri@richlandsource.com.
Oh, weren't we also supposed to? Okay, so I'm Nathan Hart. Reach out to me, Nathan@ashlandsource.com, or see me on Twitter @partofmyheart, the tag I made when I was 14. But we're also supposed to share our favorite source moment, right?
Yeah. Okay, before we sign off, what was your favorite source moment?
When I went to Balloon Fest, got to go up on a hot air balloon. That was great.
I'm so jealous.
That was great. It's like scary for like the first 30 seconds because you're like, oh, here I go. But then once you're up there, you're like, wow, this is nice.
Oh, I would absolutely be terrified the entire time. But I want to do a hot air balloon someday.
Yeah, you can't steer those bad boys. So it was like the guy was just like, yeah, we just kind of go up. Then we look for a field big enough to land in. And then we go down. The wind just like takes you where it takes you.
That's the part I don't like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good thing, I mean, there's fields all around Ashland, so
right.
We were never in risk of, like, being like, well, I guess we stay up forever. Yeah, so that was, landing was fun. He was like, oh, bend your knees in case the basket tips over.
My favorite source moment that I think I will say is, you know what? Our newsroom after hours events.
Those are fun.
Yeah. I usually find myself bartending and getting to know a lot of you guys who come. It's a real good time. And, I mean, Zach does an awesome job putting those together. Those are probably, yeah, it's fun times, fun people, fun vibe. And you get to know, like, the source team outside of work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my favorite part of it.
Yeah, I went to one last year, and, yeah, it was great. It's a big production.
Oh, yeah.
They have, like, a whole stage they set up. And, yeah, the Doc's Daily Catering and the
Phoenix brings us drinks.
The Phoenix brings us drinks.
Yeah.
There's a bar. Yeah, it's like the whole office just gets like taken over for a few hours.
For the most non-office event. But
yeah. Yeah,
I love it. And there's different genres every show. So yeah, that'd be my fave.
Yeah.
So come to some more this year. Hang out with me.
Come to open, not open, after hours. So thanks for listening, listener. I think that's about it. I think
yeah.
that's a wrap on 2021.
Awesome. We appreciate you.
All right. It's goodbye, listener. Drive safe or sleep well or whatever you're doing.
Make sure to tune in tomorrow as we continue to hear from the team on some of the biggest stories throughout our 10 years. Next, we'd like to take a moment to highlight Don Nash. For 62 years, Don has curated his eponymous shop, a space that seems frozen in time. Born from a proposal to his first employer, and with his brother's financial backing, Nash's dream was realized when he was just 23. Longevity is really special, observes Jake M. Danieri, Nash's biographer. Danieri remarks on the rarity of a store surviving this long with its original spirit intact, a spirit echoed in the elegant suiting and hats that graced the shelves. But now, after 70 years in the business, Nash is retiring. His farewell will be marked with a staggeringly generous sale, culminating in discounts of up to 80%. As Nash steps into retirement, it's the end of an era of dedication to an old-world craft that will be remembered fondly. Finally, we'd like to take a moment to remember and celebrate the life of Dan Christo. Dan was born in Mansfield and retired from Mansfield Correctional Institute after over 30 years of employment. He loved his grandchildren and enjoyed spending time with them. He was known for telling stories and making people laugh. Dan was a member of the Shiloh Masonic Lodge No. 544, the NRA, and the Richland County Fish and Game Protection Association. He also supported St. Jude Children's Hospital. He survived by his daughter, grandchildren, brother, niece and nephews, and many friends. Thank you for taking a moment to celebrate and remember Dan's life. You can submit an obituary for free on Richland Source. To learn more, click the link in our show notes or visit richlandsource.com/obituaries/submit. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow. Also, make sure to head over to richlandsource.com and click the Be a Member button to help support independent local journalism that informs and inspires. Every contribution goes to helping us make Richland County a better place and to help keep our journalism free. Also, if you like this podcast and want to hear more, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.